Anyway, it's been an interesting year, hasn't it? A very interesting year. But most of us probably won't remember any of the things that have happened in the year apart from general elections and stuff about Brexit and things like that. So does anybody remember anything else that's happened this year? No, didn't think you would. But lots of things probably have happened, but nobody knows what they are because everyone's been distracted by political events, haven't they? You know, we thought Brexit would happen on the 31st of March, then it didn't. Then they said it was going to be the 31st of July, it wasn't. Then they said it was going to be the 31st of October, and it wasn't. And then there was a general election, usually once every 5 years, and we've had four already this decade, haven't we? Four of them. So, my goodness. So, but these two events did something to our country, didn't they? It divided us. First, it was those who wanted to leave and those who wanted to stay. And then it became, I mean, there are other parties, I know, but it became those who were going to vote Conservative, those who were going to vote Labour. You know, it became sort of, there was a dividing line, wasn't there, clearly, down the country, of, and not necessarily a good thing, but it divided us. In both cases, you had to be on a side. I know there was smaller parties, Plaid Cymru, Liberal parties like that, but generally, it was a two-party political competition, wasn't it? There wasn't any sitting on the fence. We were asked to put our X in a box, fold a bit of paper and put it in a box, weren't we? We did that. We nailed our colours to the mast. We had to decide one way or another. Now the decision's been made by the nation and it's time for the nation to just get on with it, for politicians to get on with the job and to deliver on their promises. We can't do anything, can we, other than our democratic thing of putting the X in the box of where we feel in our hearts the right thing to do. Now, it's not a political sermon this morning, thank goodness. We've had enough of that, haven't we? We have. But it's not just Brexit or politics. Humanity seems to thrive on division, doesn't it? It was no different in the Apostle Paul's day either. At the beginning of 1 Corinthians, he had a problem to sort out. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10. I'm just going to read a few verses just to get the context of it. And Paul says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, but those of close household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this to each of you. You know, I say this, that each of you says, I'm of Paul, or I'm of Apollos, or I'm of Cephas, or I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I baptized in my own name." I think I'll leave it there. But yeah, he had this problem, didn't he, of divisions and people going different ways and wedges being put in between people. And you know, it's there's an interesting story. Two guys were walking along on a path, and one of them noticed that the other fella was wearing a little cross or something around his neck. I'm improvising a bit. I don't remember the original story, and I couldn't find it even on the interweb. But it goes something like this. These two were walking along, and oh, so you've got a cross. Are you a Christian? Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian too. Oh, fantastic. And they started talking about things, you know. And what church do you go to then? Well, I go to the Baptist church. Oh, that's good. I go to the Methodist church. And it seemed they had a lot in common. And they're chatting away happily as they walked along this pathway, carrying on. And then finally, you know, they were asking questions and agreeing with each other. And they were getting on like a house on fire, these two. You know, it was fantastic. Unity. They were really, really getting on well. And then the question came, well, are you a Calvinist or an Arminian? And the other says, well, Calvinist. Get behind me, Satan. You see, we always find something, don't we, that will divide us. And for those of you who don't know, the Calvinist-Arminian thing, one point of view is that we're all predestined. God knew exactly who would come to him and when. And the other point of view is that we all have free will and we find our own way to him. Yes? Anyway, It's a small thing, really, isn't it? But I think it is. But it used to be quite a big thing, and whole churches and denominations have arisen out of that. But I just found it an amusing story that these two were getting on so well, and then they found something, and then the other, get behind me, Satan. Yeah. So it can be like that, can it? We always find something that we can disagree on, and then we really pile into it. But it doesn't have to be like that. It doesn't take as long to find something to disagree on. And historically, the church is full of schism and division. We had these two wonderful Jeffreys brothers, didn't we? George and Stephen Jeffreys. And I don't know which one was which, but there was a difference of opinion. Difference of opinion. We've all got different opinions, haven't we? Somebody said that opinions are a bit like armpits. Everybody's got them, and some of them stink. I don't know about that. I just thought I'd throw that out there. No, I'm okay. Okay. But have I gone too far? I think I have. But the two Jeffreys brothers, they had a little disagreement. They had a difference of opinion on whether or not speaking in tongues was the initial evidence that a person was filled with the Holy Spirit. One thought it was. One didn't think it was. And as a result of that, we now have the Elim Church and the Assemblies of God. True. But anyway, which one was right? Does it matter? I don't think it does. One thing that does matter is that we have Jesus Christ at the center of our lives, doesn't it? That's what matters. We have Jesus in here. There's no middle ground either. It's one or the other. That's how it is with the kingdom of God. We're either for him or we're against him. And you know, we need to put aside all the divisions and trust in God, because he is bigger than leave or remain. He is bigger than conservative or labor. He is bigger than anything, church denominations or any of these things, these divisions that we put up to divide ourselves. You know, I'm this, or I'm that, and this is better than that. You know what? That's rubbish. Jesus on the inside, that's what matters. We need to align our hearts with his heart. We need revelation, not rebellion. Amen. There's a verse that I love, and it says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And the only way we can have that is by, you know, well, I'll come to that in a moment. I'm getting ahead of myself. The verse doesn't apply to us. It applies to everyone out there. So the only way to have abundant life is by retiring early. Yes, please. Only got another 12 years to go, at least. Maybe more. Maybe it'll never happen. Winning 100 million on the Euro Millions, would that give you abundant life? Might help a little bit. Don't think it'd be abundant. Having a mansion to live in. Having a top paying job. Having your own team of servants. Would that give you abundant life? Be nice, wouldn't it? But anyway. But no, sorry, it's none of these things. The only way to have abundant life is to know Jesus. Not the little baby, the little sweet little defenseless baby lying in a crib, but I'm talking about the all-conquering, risen, sin-taking, new life-creating, eternity-reigning Jesus. Amen? That's what we need to do. That's who gives us abundant life. Sadly, the only time of year that Jesus gets spoken about in a way that's not derogatory or a swear word is Christmas. Jesus' name above all names. We sing it, don't we? Jesus' name above all names. But you know what? I was thinking about that name. I was thinking about the name of Jesus. Obviously, it helps to think about the name of Jesus if you're preaching in a Christian church, doesn't it, when you're preparing. And the three words that came into my mind when I was thinking about it was love, joy, and peace. Probably because it's written all over Christmas cards and it's that time of year. Yeah, before you think I've got this superb, you know. It's written all over Christmas cards, but it's also three of the fruits of the Spirit, the first three that are listed, aren't they? And we can read again if you like. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the nine fruits of the Spirit. They're not the gifts of the Spirit. These are the byproducts. These are what happens on the outside of us when we've got Jesus on the inside of us, yes? Jesus, the name above all names, love, joy, and peace. I think Christmas is a good time to look at how these qualities are working themselves out in our lives, isn't it? Basically, if we have Jesus on the inside, Jesus will be on the outside of us too. You know, Jesus isn't just a coat that we put on Sundays. He's in us and he's through us, isn't he? So love, we know God is love, don't we? It's written all through the scriptures from one end to the other is a revelation of God's love for us, his people. He loves us, you know. He loves us. He knows that we fall away. He knows that we do what's right in our own eyes. It's all in here. He knows that we need forgiveness. He gave his only begotten son to die a criminal's death so that sin could be paid for once and for all. That's the free gift which is symbolized at Christmas. We need to be forgiven. We need what Christ did for us. His motive was love, unconditional love that knew no bounds. What about us? Freely we've received it. How freely do we allow what's inside to be on the outside? Yeah? Freely we've received, freely we should give too. The Bible says in 1 John 4:20 that if somebody says, I love God, but he hates his brother, it's harsh, but he says he's a liar. For he who doesn't love his brother who he's seen, how can he love God who he hasn't seen? Wow. Rodney Francis, a well-known writer and prophetic minister, he's visited us here in Holyhead in, I think, 2003, Simon. He came to our church in Thomas Street and ministered in the sort of prophetic teaching. But he's written a few books. He's got a book and it says, you can measure your love for God. You can measure your love for God. Wow, you know, that's pretty dynamic. And I don't want to put you off buying his book, but the simple truth is you can measure it. And how you measure it is how you love everybody else. Because if you don't love everybody else, you don't love God. Simple as that, isn't it? Joy, deep joy. Well, I've got the joy of the Lord and it's down in my heart. We need to tell your face. It's nearly Christmas, so I can be rude to people. I need to tell my face sometimes. I laugh at my own jokes, that's how bad I am. But yeah, I have the joy of the Lord in my heart. When you've put down a heavy load, yeah, when you've been struggling, when you've been carrying something, it's a joy to put it down, isn't it? When you've got a huge debt, like, you know, you've been paying your mortgage for, I don't know, 25, 30 years. I'm still paying mine, by the way. And suddenly the day comes and that debt's been paid. Wow, that would put a smile on your face. I don't know, because I've never done it, but I would imagine I'd be smiling. Yeah. Think, well, fantastic. No more monthly payments to the Halifax or whoever. And you know, when you finish running a race, and you've been running, I can say this because I've done about 10 half marathons in the last few years. And when you get, I never get to break the tape going across because I'm never the first one. But I'm not the last one either. But when you've run through that finish line and you've got a little bit of happiness welling up inside because you can stop running now. And there's usually some sugary treats to sort of get your sugar levels back up and things, waiting for your bits of chocolate and sweets and things and drinks so you can, you know, there's a bit of joy. You don't have to run anymore. You don't have to carry the load anymore. And you've paid your debt. Does that sound familiar? It's what Jesus has done for us, isn't it? Doesn't that bring joy? Great joy. It is finished. Complete. I'm free. We give Jesus the heavy weights that we've been carrying around. Yeah? We give him our awkwardness, our sinful nature, our weaknesses, our unpleasantness. He, out of love, then makes us into his likeness. It takes a lifetime, but we are transformed. When our minds are renewed, not conformed to this world, but transformed, changed. We're not the same when we encounter Christ. The whole point is that we're different. We leave a lot of things behind, those things that I've just mentioned. We leave them at the foot of the cross when we come to Jesus. You know, I've been in meetings where there's been laughing And, you know, a lot of, that's not right. That can't be right. People laughing in church. My goodness, we need solemnness. We need to be sober, quiet, reverent. But there's been people laughing. And, you know, I struggled a bit to start with, but when you think about it, when you, the Holy Spirit sometimes does a deep work in your life and you come to a realization of what's been done, of the things that you've left behind and what he's done for you and the freedom and the relief that you now have, sometimes you can't help for that joy to well up, a bit uncontrollable maybe, and laughing. It happens. Jesus brings love. Jesus brings joy. Jesus also brings peace, doesn't he? World peace would be great, wouldn't it? And you know, and there's a lot of people tried to bring about that. Some people thought, well, if they take over the whole world, then they can run it all their way and they'll have peace. That didn't work. There's other things going on here and there. But we all know that there's no man-made way for us to have world peace. It's nigh on impossible. But when Jesus Christ comes again to rule the earth, there will be peace, won't there? At the moment, we're stuck with injustice, uprisings, nations rising against nations, unrest, immorality, and all the other things. But we can have peace in our hearts. The only way to have true peace in our hearts is when we have peace with God. Billy Graham's written a book about that called Peace with God. I'd recommend that. But the only true peace comes through knowing Jesus and walking in his ways. If we walk the path that God lays down for us, that God sets out for each and every one of us, if we walk that path, we will know peace because we're walking in his ways. But the moment we turn off those ways, the peace seems to go, doesn't it? And we know that we're not walking his way anymore and we need to get on the path. It's a bit like the sat-nav in the car. It says turn right. It says turn left. It says go round the roundabout. It says take the exit. But sometimes it says do a U-turn. Do a U-turn. It says it quite a lot in my car. Do a U-turn. Because I don't trust it and I don't listen to it and I think I know best. But it's got maps programmed into it. It knows where it is. I don't. We need to listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit within us and learn to take the directions we are prompted in life, and then we'll continue in his peace, won't we? So, forget all the division, forget all the hype, all the news of 2019. It's soon going to be 2020. Perhaps it's going to be the year of vision, 2020. But let's remember that Jesus is the real reason for the season, the one who brings love, joy, and peace. And allow the Jesus in our hearts to permeate through us in the form of character and fruit of the Spirit. If we don't have love, joy, and peace on the outside of us, we need more of Jesus on the inside of us, don't we? So how about it? What would Jesus do? Forgive a wrongdoer. We've all got people who've transgressed against us, haven't we? We've all got people. I remember about 20 years ago sending a post. I lived on the other side of the planet, and I sent a Christmas card to somebody that I knew things were wrong with, you know, and we'd had disagreements and we were no longer talking. I sent him a Christmas card with a little note, how are you doing, really sorry about what's happened in the past, whatever, simple like that. And you know what, it just opened up a friendship again, and it's a fantastic thing to do. So we forgive people the trespass. You know, Gwilym preached half of my message this morning at communion about forgiveness, and it's true, isn't it? We need to forgive or we're not forgiven. Be generous to somebody, maybe secretly. You know somebody's in need and you can help them. You don't have to blow a trumpet, just deal with it quietly. Get in touch with somebody you've lost touch with. Have someone over for dinner you wouldn't normally have. There's loads of things we can do, isn't there, for the love, joy, and peace to be exercised in our lives. There are loads of things, and you know what? You don't have to look that hard to know what to do. We just follow our heart and listen to the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, and peace. Love, joy, and peace. I nearly said she's not here. But love, joy, and peace to you all this Christmas. And God richly bless you all. Amen.